Hey friends, before we dive into this episode, I just put together a brand new guide to help you start and build your web design business. For those of you who are early stagers, whether you're just starting or whether you're just having trouble getting your business off the ground, this free guide is a 10-step action plan that is a proven path to building your business successfully. We're going to cover things like what to offer and what services to provide your clients as a web designer, how to price those, and I'm even going to share some of my top tips for starting to get paying clients. I'm also going to share with you the things you need to know as a web designer to be able to charge accordingly. So you can pick up this free guide at joshhall.co/build. Again, it's a 10-step action plan. It is a proven path to starting your web design business successfully. It is definitely what I wish I had when I got started. So I'm really excited to share it with you. Pick it up today for completely free. joshhall.co/build. I'm excited to help you start and build your business.
Welcome to the Josh Hall Web Design Show. Web Design Show. Helping you build better websites and create a web design business that gives you freedom and a lifestyle you love.
Hello, friends. Welcome into the podcast, episode 163. Just me with you in this one. I'm really excited to dish out what I've found to be my top strategies, and we're gonna limit it to seven strategies for getting better SEO rankings. And here's the exciting part. Right now, these are the top strategies that I've found to get the quickest results for Google. As you probably know, Google does take a little while depending on the website and depending on the content and the strategy. It is not an overnight thing. However, if you do one or ideally all of the tips we're about to go over, you will get the quickest ROI for Google. And it's not really a return on investment. I guess we'll call it maybe a return on input. Ooh, there we go. There's a new word for the podcast. Return on input. If you implement and input these things, you will get much faster Google rankings for not only your site, but for your clients. That's something else I wanted to make note of right off of the top here. As it goes with all of my podcasts, just remember, when you're learning through this podcast on these tips, do not be afraid to implement this in your business. This is not like proprietary knowledge that only I know and share with you and that you can't turn around and use for your clients. I 100% want you to take this and use it in your business, and I want you to charge for it. Everything that you learn in here, you will be able to implement in your business and charge for it for your clients because it's going to help get better results. And side note, if you take these tips and lay them out into, you know, to your clients and just kind of offer this as knowledge, you're going to look like a boss and you're going to look like you know what the heck you're talking about. And the cool thing about SEO is that I've been reaffirmed in all of the podcast interviews I've done with SEO experts. We just recently had an SEO guy on the podcast earlier on 162 about backlinks and Google algorithms, but they've all reaffirmed to me that SEO is not rocket science. It is fairly common sense. And once you know the basics, you can do a lot of good with SEO. Now, yes, SEO is something that can get very complex and very robust, but at the core, it can be done very simply. And these seven tips that we're about to dive into are just that. The seven most simplest and easy to implement tips that I highly recommend you do. Now, the cool thing is, before we dive into point number one, these are all pulled from something really exciting I'm pumped to share with you. My brand new free masterclass, which is a beginner's guide to SEO for web designers. And you can pick that up right now at the post for this podcast. So just go to joshhall.co/163. And you can just let me know where you would like me to send this free masterclass. It's a 1-hour training. It's kind of like a little intro to SEO for web designers course. It's a 1-hour training. You just let me know where you would like me to send that. And I would love to give you the basics of SEO, particularly for those of you who are new to web design. And you're like, I'm terrified of SEO because that's definitely how I felt. But this masterclass will give you the basics and help give you some confidence. So check that out at the post for this episode joshhall.co/163. All right, now to my seven top strategies for quick SEO wins. We're going to start with number one, which is to follow what I like to call the SEO tree. Now, this is something that I share visually in the masterclass that I want you to sign up for sure. But to explain this, I guess in the audio version, the SEO tree, if you can envision a tree, you might already know where this is going, but your website should essentially be like a tree, meaning your homepage is your trunk. That is where all the branches and all the limbs go back to, and it's all connected. This is a big key for SEO. All of your pages, all of your blog posts, all of your services, all of your products should link back to your homepage. So your homepage is the trunk. And can you guess what the biggest branches are going to be from there? Those are going to be your top pages. Those are going to be either your main services or your top pages and the most important pages in your website. Generally, and a lot of times there are like post types or categories that then will turn into the smaller branches, and then those will get into being your blog posts or your category type posts, etc. So let me give you a kind of a practical analogy on this SEO tree. And again, I do visualize this in the masterclass for those of you who want to see this visual. But let's look at my site. My site at joshhall.co. My primary pages as of right now at the time of recording this podcast are, yes, my homepage. It's a personal brand. But my courses, my podcast, my tutorials, and my blogs, which are separated into a few different categories. So my homepage is the trunk. And then my biggest branches are courses, podcast, blogs, and my tutorials. And then under tutorials, I have a few different categories of tutorials. I have WordPress tutorials, Divi related tutorials, and more just broad web design tutorials. Now, how I do this in the SEO tree idea is that on my menu, my main pages, my most important pages are in the menu. So if you go to joshhall.co, if you haven't been there in a while, the menu is, can you guess what the menu is? You guessed it. Courses, podcast, tutorials, and blog, along with some other stuff that I'm kind of restructuring right now. And I also have a secondary SEO tree tip for you, which is to put your main links on your homepage. This will help Google understand the navigation and flow of your website, which is crucial for how it displays when people search and find you. So a lot of people ask, how do I change what Google displays when I, you know, search for a business or my brand? Well, there's actually no technical way that I know of to force Google to display something, but a surefire way to get Google to display the pages that you want are to follow this SEO tree hierarchy. So biggest, most important pages and categories and post types in the menu and on your homepage. That's what I like to call the SEO tree. Now, I would love to take full credit for the SEO tree idea. I don't think I stole that from anybody, but I'm not 100% sure. So as of now, I will take credit unless you can prove me wrong by saying that somebody has taken that idea. But I call it the SEO tree. You visualize your website. Again, trunk is your homepage, your next biggest branches. Those are the next biggest pages. And then the smaller branches become more like category type post types. And then you get into blog posts, services, products, etc. And the biggie is they all funnel back and link back to your homepage, all from the navigation and linking in the homepage. So that is the SEO tree, a very easy thing you can do right away. Because a lot of times you may just have your pages, and then now all you need to do is just restructure them. You might need to tweak your menu, organize your menu a little better with the hierarchy of pages, link them on your homepage, and boom, you've just completed task number one. All right, let's move on to number two. This is a biggie too. It's kind of a follow-up to the SEO tree, but this is a biggie particularly for those of you who are working with local businesses who might have different services and really want to get better local rankings for Google. And that is to have separate pages for your services. So what happens for a lot of local businesses, particularly if they're low on a budget, is they just want to have a one-page website, or they want to have maybe a 3 to 5 page website, and then they have a services page. And you guessed it, there's like 5 to 10 services on one page. But here's the problem with that for Google. Just remember, Google is a matchmaker. And I talk about this in the free masterclass you can sign up for. But Google is just looking for an answer to a question or a solution to an inquiry, a search. If there is one page with a number of different services on it, it's hard for Google to display that because it's like, well, this page has like a bazillion different services. If you have one service page that's dedicated to that service, that has a nice title and nice description, that is very clearly, like, let's use like an auto mechanic, for example. Instead of having a service page that has brake changes and oil changes or tires or auto repair, whatever, if each one of those are their own page, when somebody searches brake change in my area or oil change, in my case, you know, Grove City, Ohio, which is where I'm based out of, right outside of Columbus, I'm going to be able to get much better rankings by having a page dedicated for that service. And you can apply this to any industry. So when you're talking with your clients, especially the local ones, And they're like, I just want to have a one-page website, but I want to be at the top of Google. Just let them know, we can start with a one-page website, but my recommendation is that we implement an SEO plan for the next 3, 6, 9 months or a year and build out more pages for these services. And it'll give us some time to create the titles, to get content, to get pictures, whatever. And this will help with SEO rankings. Just remember, explain to them, Google is looking for an answer to a detailed question. If you have a bunch of different terms on one page, Google has a really hard time, understandably, finding that page because there's 10 different keywords on there. So separate pages for services, no matter the industry, that is a quick win you can implement right now. And it's also a way for you to convince your clients to go from like a $500 landing page site to a $2,500 10-page site or 15-page site, and you'll get better results. So that's number two. Now, number three, we have to ideally appease the Google. And what I mean by that is submitting your site to Google itself. And if you're new to web design and you're new to SEO and you're like, how the heck do I do that? The cool thing is, side note, technically, I do talk about this in the masterclass, technically you can get SEO rankings, get decent SEO rankings without using any tools whatsoever. You can do that with just good, natural SEO, which is kind of cool. I love that about SEO. You don't need tools, but you ideally do want to play nicely with Google. And the way to do that is to submit your site to Google. And how do you do that? You do that through Google Search Console. The cool thing about that is it's really easy to do. You can just, well, there'll be a link in the show notes for this on just going to Google Search Console. I do actually walk you through how to do this in detail. It's a pretty quick process, but I do actually walk you through how to do this in my actual SEO course. We cover the basics of it in the masterclass, but you just go to Google Search Console and you could submit your site. And then depending on what type of tool you're using for SEO, which would be like SEO Yoast or Rank Math or something that just helps optimize your site, they will give you what's called a sitemap, and you can actually submit that to Google Search Console. And that will basically tell Google immediately, hey, my site's live, please index these pages. Again, Google will index your site naturally, but you want to make sure you submit it to Google Search Console ideally. The other aspect to a Google tool that's really important is Google Business Profile, which is formerly Google My Business. Now, my business at joshhall.co, I don't have this because I'm not an actual brick and mortar store. Now, if this is a local business and you want them to show up on listing searches, absolutely have them sign up for this immediately, which most businesses do. I think nowadays, if a business is gonna be in business, they're gonna set up for their Google listing, and that's gonna be able to manage their website, their hours, their phone. Usually you just have to request access to them from that. But what I found is most clients don't know anything about Google Search Console, or the third piece to this is Google Analytics. Now, I do recommend, of course, you have Google Analytics set up, but you can set that up after Google Search Console. Technically, you can actually do it before or after Google Search Console, but either way, the biggies are Google Search Console, submit your site. You'll be able to sign up right there really easy. Just tell Google, hey, this is my domain. And then boom, submit your sitemap, depending on if you're using Yoast or Rank Math or whatever. And then make sure for local clients, you have them set up their Google Business Profile and keep that up to date. And make sure their website is linked in there, which is another biggie why they need to have a website. So that's number three. Now, number four. So let me just a quick cap on number three. You just want to make sure you ideally appease the Google with their tools, which makes a lot of sense. It's basically just a fast track way to say, hey, Google, here's my site. Here's all the most important pages. Here's the profile. Hook up Google Analytics as well. And then boom, you're good to go. Now, number four, linking. Oh, I love linking. I've learned to really enjoy linking. In fact, as I'm thinking about it and I'm looking at this list here, I don't love all things about SEO. I have to be completely honest. It's why I learned it later on in my career. But I do love linking. Linking is something I've gotten more and more excited about because it's actually how I built joshhall.co and how I started getting really good rankings for a lot of my posts and my terms is because of linking. Now, there are three types of links, basically. There are what I like to phrase, and you'll see all different verbiage on this. You'll hear backlinks a lot. You'll hear that term, backlinks. The way I like to think about them, and this is just my personal system, so any SEO experts might, you know, combat me on this, but I like to think of it as three different linking structures. Internal links, which are links to your own website where you can link services, blog posts, etc. External links, where you link to other websites, and then backlinks, And those are links that you actually get back to your website from different websites. Now, here's the biggie. When it comes to external and backlinks from other websites, those should be ideally qualified and very relevant and good reputable websites. So internal links are pretty easy. Those are the easiest to implement because right now you can go to your website or your client's website and you can just start linking back to different pages and posts and services within your own website. You'll often find this on my tutorials and my blog. Well, all of my post types, really. Even on this podcast episode, you'll likely see other links that go to other podcasts that are similar to SEO. And that is an example of internal linking. And that's just a great way for Google to kind of know where all these pages are connected from. And this kind of goes back to the SEO tree. So I started specifically with the SEO tree because all these kind of are examples of tying your SEO tree together. But linking is huge, internal. And then for external, when you are linking out to other sites, here's a biggie. You want to ideally mention and link out to sites that are reputable and relevant, meaning you don't want to link to a site that's shady and might get hacked or is just like a very clearly spammy, salesy Google Ads type of site. But you definitely want to link out to other sites, particularly if they're qualified and in the same industry. So the only time for me as a web designer that I would link out to an automotive website would be if I'm showcasing it in my portfolio. I would not want to post an article saying, hey, my client wrote a great article about, you know, how to change your brakes at home. Because I'm a web design agency and that's going to start throwing Google off if you have all these links that aren't really relevant to your site. So I'm very intentional about linking out to guests in my podcast and other people in the web design realm and tools that I use because it's all interconnected. And yeah, there may be some that branch out from the industry. And I'm not saying that if you put a, you know, brake change tutorial on your website that it's going to just, you know, destroy your SEO rankings. But ideally you want Google to know, what do you do? What's your industry? Who's your demographic? And you want to have really good links out to those sites and backlinks. Here's the big question. Okay. Well, it sounds awesome to get backlinks from other websites. How do I do that? Well, there's a lot of shady techniques to go about that I recommend steering clear from, which often include like listing. Well, listing directories are fine. If you put your website out to other listings, that's totally fine. For example, let's say you join a networking group and join a chamber of commerce. You've suddenly got two different backlinks, maybe multiple backlinks to your site. So that's fine. But when it comes to these shady techniques like commenting on blog posts or commenting on YouTube videos, you can tell when it's shady. So I do not recommend doing that. Now, what I do recommend doing is reaching out to your network. And you can definitely offer to do guest posts for good, reputable, and relevant type of partners and stuff. That's totally fine. So let's say you're a web designer, but you hate copywriting, but you have a copywriting friend. Well, maybe you can do a guest post on their website about what you've learned with conversion and design, and then post it on their website. And then they get a link back to your site, or you could send that content to them. They can post it on their site and then give credit to you and link back to your site. That's a good example of backlinks. Where I get my backlinks from primarily are from Elegant Themes blog, which is I had the honor to be able to actually write for and still might eventually do a little more of that. So I get a lot of backlinks from Elegant Themes, which is great for me because that is a high domain authority type website, very reputable. I also get backlinks from any interviews that I do from other, like if I get invited onto a podcast, one reason I love being interviewed on other podcasts is they post my interview and then guess what I get? A backlink. So that, there it is. It's not rocket science. Backlinks, you can, it's kind of funny because the best backlinks generally come from not sitting in front of a screen. It's actually usually from networking or doing something in the real world or doing an interview and getting a backlink or being featured on a blog post or a case study. Case studies are a really good way to get backlinks. So highly recommend checking that out for good linking. Just remember internal, external, and backlinking. You'll hear different terms. Those are just my coin terms because that's the way I understand it. Now, number five, as we get ready for the last few here, I recommend if you want to get the best results to focus on what's called long tail keywords. Now, I've had my personal SEO guru, Michelle, on to the podcast a couple of times previously. She was on in episode 55, way back on episode 55, where we talked about how to really optimize your content for SEO. So I highly recommend going back to episode 55 to check that out because we do talk a little more about keywords and She was also on a little more recently on episode 107, where we talked about keyword research. So that one in particular for keyword research, I highly recommend listening to that one. If I had to choose between the two as far as which one to go through first, I would do 107 about keyword research, especially if you want to learn keyword research better, because SEO is really all about keywords. It's all about what word or what it's technically they're called key phrases, because no one ever searches just with one word generally on Google. It's a phrase. It's like how to learn Divi or, you know, best web design course. It's a phrase, but key phrase research just doesn't quite have the same ring to it. So keyword research sounds a lot better. But anyway, websites should have a key phrase as the primary title and in the content for a blog post, for a services page, etc. Now, when I say focus on long tail keywords and key phrases, the reason I say that is because generally short key phrases are a lot harder to get results for. So the auto mechanic example, I have a personal auto mechanic guy here in my town, and I did his website years ago, and he asked me the question that every client asks, which is, how do I get on the top page of Google? And I had to say, okay, well, for what key phrase, what keyword? Getting to the top page of Google for Grove City, which is our, you know, suburb, our town outside of Columbus, is way different than getting on the top page of Google for auto repair Columbus, because we're in a big city. There are thousands of auto places. So start with long tail keywords, which in this case would be like auto repair Grove City, Ohio, instead of auto repair Columbus, Ohio. Just that shift of terminology, we were able to get really good SEO rankings for him very quickly. And now, could we go through Columbus? Absolutely. But ideally, you start with the long tail keywords. This is actually, side note, this is how a lot of my website gets found, by these long tail keywords, because what I've done to boost my SEO rankings for joshhall.co is I've created these podcast episodes, which definitely help because they have longer titles and phrases, but my tutorials are biggie too. And now if you search Divi tutorials, that is a short tail key phrase, you will find joshhall.co. Go ahead, test me out. If you don't believe me, go to Google right now, search Divi tutorials, and you should see my website on the homepage. But here's the trick. You don't see joshhall.co, you see my Divi tutorials category, or you might see the tutorial category. That is the biggie, because those are long tail keywords. It's Divi tutorials by joshhall.co. And in this case, I was able to climb up the rankings for Divi tutorials because I've been doing this for several years now. But the posts that generally come up quick are is if you search for one of my blog posts. For example, if you search for manually migrate WordPress, you should see my tutorial somewhere on Google. You'll likely see my video, which is what's called a snippet, which we're going to talk about next. And you can test this out too. Now, if you search for migrate WordPress, I don't know if I come up on that, but that's the difference. Manually migrate WordPress is a lot of a different search than manual or migrate WordPress, because migrate WordPress is probably going to show up with some tools and some like do it for you solutions. Whereas manually migrate WordPress is very clear. I made that tutorial to say, if a tool broke for you and you need to manually do this, here's how to do it. So that's just an example of my SEO strategy to use long tail keywords. So again, short tail key phrases, keywords are going to be like, we could actually say like web design Columbus, because I'm in Columbus, Ohio. So if I were to search for web design Columbus, that would be a short tail. I would consider that a short tail keyword. Those are generally like two to three words or less. Now, if I were to do WordPress web design Columbus, that is more of a long tail because it's a little more specific. So short tail are more broad, but the problem with that is they have a lot more competition. And if this is like location-based, like an area search, this is where long tail is even better, because like I just mentioned with my auto mechanic, Grove City auto repair is way easier to get than Columbus auto repair. So start with your long tail keywords. A lot of times they can be location based, and then you can build up from there. And again, definitely check out my awesome SEO guru, Michelle, back on episode 107 for keyword research. And I highly recommend going back to her previous episode 55 if you want to get to know her and get to know SEO even better. And I do, again, just to bring up the masterclass again, I do cover this all more visually in a lot more detail in my free masterclass, which you can pick up now at joshhall.co/163 for the, you'll see the link in there. for the free SEO masterclass. Now, the last two here, we just talked about snippets. This is a biggie. They are called featured snippets when you search for Google and you'll see like an answer to a question that's highlighted. And the cool thing about this is it's not an ad. Snippets can be done as an answer to a question in like a small paragraph or a little sentence. Or often Google will feature bullet lists or numbered lists for like a how-to kind of thing. So for example, if you search right now, don't do this for those of you who are driving, but if you're walking or if you're doing dishes, stop, you know, put that plate down real quick and try this out. Search Divi Theme versus Divi Theme Builder. You should see, because I see it in an incognito search, an answer to that question from myself, from my site. I got featured as a snippet from Google on that by just answering that question very clearly in the blog post on my site. So I just said the difference between the Divi Builder and the Divi Theme is blah, blah, blah. And that's what pulled up as a snippet. Now, if I were to do like a how to install the Divi theme and do it like a 5-numbered list, that would be even better. Although that's a, I think Elegant Themes owns that one. But anytime you can answer a question in a blog post or in a page, ideally with bullets and numbers, if it is a like how-to type of thing, do that and you will likely get featured as a snippet. Now, the other thing you can do with this is if you are implementing video with any of your blog posts, just remember when you post a video to YouTube, the really cool thing about that is YouTube is owned by, ta-da, Google. So Google favors YouTube videos. This is why when you Google something, you'll likely always see YouTube over Vimeo or any other video platforms. So if you are going to do a video with something, a lot of times those will show a featured snippet as well. And the last I looked, if you go back to the manually migrate WordPress search, you should see a snippet of my video. I'm pretty sure I'm still on the homepage. So again, test me out on all this. Let me know if I am correct in my statements, if you're able to kind of follow along in this episode. So this may be the most like engaging, like try this out type of episode I've done on the podcast so far. So try that out though. Snippets. Just remember, anytime you can answer a question in a blog post, a lot of times Google will favor that and then they'll start popping up and suddenly you look like an expert or your clients will look like an expert. And finally, let's end off point number seven. That sounds odd. Number seven, increase the average time on your site. Now, that is a nice vague example. That's a nice vague strategy. Okay, so how do we increase the average time on site? Well, a lot of times it's just good content that's made for humans that they actually want to read. It doesn't mean you need to create a book for a blog post, but if you do, Google wants to see at least 350 words, which is not much. That's like two paragraphs generally. But if you do like 1500 words, that's a really good kind of medium blog post. In fact, I think I can legally say this. When I wrote for Elegant Themes, the minimum you were supposed to do was, I'm trying to remember when I was, I think it was you were supposed to do at least 1,000 for a blog post and then up to 2,500 unless you got, you know, written authorization to go more than that. Because once you get past 2,500, then suddenly you got an ebook on your hands. So that doesn't mean you can't go more than that. It just means that once you get more and more content, you know, Google can sometimes have a hard time finding what that term is, unless it's just a really good article. But anyway, good content made by humans. But here's the actual trick to this. And that is to end a blog post by saying, now, don't say like, okay, thanks for reading, bye-bye. Say, now that you've read this, go to this article or go to this video. There is a new metric and a new currency in the online world now, and that is average time spent. And this could be average time on a website, average time on a post, average time on a video. And the way you get that really is by keeping them on the video or the post and keeping them on your site. So I'm actually implementing this in not only my blog posts now, but also my YouTube videos. For those of you who follow me on YouTube, highly recommend giving me a subscribe there if you will. You can just go to joshhall.co/YouTube. Subscribe there and you will see that all the videos I'm going to be producing here in 2022, most all of them will say at the very end, okay, now that we've done this, now check this video out. And that is very intentional. My goal is to keep people watching. And I, as somebody who is, you know, like balancing family and not wanting to be on the screen all the time and thinking about this with my kids, I'm leery about doing this because in a weird way, I don't want people to become addicted to my YouTube channel. But at the same time, I do want to appease Google and YouTube. And now I'm just going to hope that people know when to, you know, turn their stuff off. But the idea is to make sure that you say, you don't say goodbye. You say, check this one out now. And that will keep the average time on your site, on your video, et cetera. That, my friends, is a new currency for Google. So just to recap these top 7 tips. Number 1, follow the SEO tree. Again, hierarchy. Your homepage is your main trunk. Your big branches are your main pages, and then they go out from there. Number 2, separate pages for services. That is actually, if I were to do any of these, even before submitting to Google Search Console, that would be my primary thing because I don't want to submit to Google Search Console with a landing page. I want to do it with like 10 pages. Separate pages for services. Submit that site to Google Search Console, to Google Business Profile, formerly Google My Business if it's a local business. Remember good linking. Link back through your podcasts, or excuse me, through your blog posts and other pages and stuff internally. Link to really good other sites externally and get some backlinks if you can over time. Number 5, focus on long tail keywords and key phrases. Way bigger payoff in the meantime, in the short run, than short tail. And then number 6, write answers to questions as snippets, ideally as a bullet or a numbered list in your blog post. And finally, don't say bye-bye, thanks for reading. Say, check out this next article or this related video or whatever. Increase that average time on site. Again, all these are pulled from my brand new SEO masterclass that is waiting for you. We can spend a whole hour, although we've already spent a half an hour on this, but we just go into a lot more visuals and I'm pretty excited. I think it's pretty good. I've done quite a few masterclasses now, and I think this one is my favorite. So check it out. You can go to joshhall.co/163, and then you can find that masterclass. I am going to work on a shortened link to the masterclass. I should have done that before I posted this blog, this podcast. But hey, here we are. Anyway, go there, pick it up. I would love to help you with a beginner's guide for SEO. Really, really excited. This is really important too, guys, for 2022. All businesses are going online, and for those who haven't, they are serious about it because of obvious reasons over the past couple of years. So they are going to need SEO help. So this is your time. I don't want you to steer clear of SEO services. It's not rocket science. You can do a lot of good SEO damage by just knowing the basics, and you can charge for it. So check that out. Again, last time, free masterclass for SEO for web designers. Go to joshhall.co/163. You'll see this post and all the links, and you can pick that up right now. All right, guys, hope you enjoyed, and I'll see you on the next episode. Hey guys and gals, just wanted to pop in with a couple things before you head out. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you listen to this podcast. I would love to hear your feedback, and it will also help other web designers find the show. Be sure to check out the show notes for this episode. Just go to joshhall.co, click on podcasts, and search this episode number, and you'll find all the links, descriptions, and resources we talked about. And if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe, and you'll be notified when the next episode is live. Thanks again for tuning in, and I'll catch you guys on the next episode.